Let us pray. Lord Jesus, tend to our hearts today and let your word find good soil in us, that we might produce a harvest of good works that glorify your name. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus is sort of setting us on a course this morning, in which he will guide us through a series of parables over the next three Sundays. Parables are another way to say stories, kind of a fancy word for it. But they're not just any stories. They're stories that Jesus tells are, well, they're a bit cryptic at times, aren't they? There's something hidden in them. And in order to get to that hidden stuff, you have to sort of root around inside of them. Get down on your knees and dig in the dirt a bit. Get some dirt under your fingernails to really understand what it means. And so that's the way to explore what Jesus tells us this morning. Now, I know that some of you like that sort of thing. There are quite a few gardeners around here, people who know a thing or two about how to grow stuff and how to dig around in the dirt. Just this past week, I enjoyed some jalapeno salsa that will make your hair curl. It's pretty good. And I had some fresh lettuce from the garden to put on top of my cheeseburger. Some of you are pretty good at this gardening stuff, I have to say. And others of you, well, how to say it, you know? Maybe your thumb is a few shades away from green, let's just say, right? Because I've heard a few stories over this spring and summer about plants mowed over on accident, about pots getting knocked over and, you know, the plants going everywhere. And I've even witnessed young children plucking little seedlings that have just popped up out of the ground and proudly bringing them to their parents. Well, the crowds that follow Jesus around this morning, they know a thing or two about gardening too. For most of them, indeed, even for most of the world now, keeping a family garden is the primary way that they survive. No cellophane wrapper, no freeze-dried food, and certainly nothing canned. They're at the mercy of the rains that come down, and they work hard day in and day out to tend to their little plants and hope for a harvest that will provide for what they need. Some of you will remember that St. David's joined in on a little bit of this gardening work a couple years ago, as we funded a well in Burundi that now serves a community of about 22,000 people. 22,000 people have fresh drinking water and have the ability to water their gardens because of your generosity. And the truth is that even though I can swing by the store and buy avocados in January in North Idaho, which is very strange, the truth is that someone, somewhere, had to put in the hard work to tend to the harvest that is now in my hand. No matter where we live, no matter when we live, we all depend on sowers. And Jesus tells us about one sower in particular this morning. He says in his parable, a man goes out to scatter seed. Easy enough, something all of his crowd would identify with. And some of that seed falls on the path that he's walking on. Some of it falls on rocky ground, and some of it has thorns already growing in it. And some of it falls on good soil. And then Jesus does something that he almost never does. He tells the parable again. He calls for his disciples, the ones who follow him, not only to hear the parable, he wants them to understand the parable. Understand it, he says. Comprehend, listen up, and get this into your heads. Or to maybe keep with the metaphor, dig here. X marks the spot. This is the place to look. And so Jesus' invitation to hear his parable is a commandment to listen attentively to what God says to his people. Sometimes we hear this parable as a kind of way to interpret or maybe make sense of the world around us. I think most of the sermons I've heard over the years on this passage could sort of roughly be summed up by saying that there are sort of four types of people in this world. We take this passage and we sort of kind of pencil out a chart or survey the world and break it out into a quadrant. And 3/4 of it reject the kingdom of God, while 1/4 is faithful. And you can be sure that our denomination or our local church, well, that's in the good soil for sure, of course. Now, maybe to some degree that could be true. Maybe there's a way of sort of looking out over the world and understanding it according to what Jesus says in this parable. Many of us know people who hear God's word and it is immediately robbed from them as if they had never heard it in the first place. Others hear God's word, they get very excited, and then you wonder where they went. And while others hear and receive God's word, they begin to grow, but eventually the things of life choke out a growing and budding faith. And then there's the good soil. And we all know that's what we're supposed to be, right? And yet, while many of these sermons have left me staring down at the dirt, thinking about the quality of it, I can't help but wonder about the sower. If I pause and consider this sower, I think he might be joining some of you as an official member of the Knocked Over Plant Club. Because not a whole lot of jalapenos or lettuce seem to be growing in his garden this morning, does it? Because he just seems to wander around and throw seed wherever he goes. He tosses a bit where he sees birds waiting to gobble it up. He throws some on top of rocks. He lets loose a handful where dandelions and thistles are already growing. Not really the best gardener, is he? It's kind of wasteful, you might say. But in the hands of God, there is a word for this kind of sowing. If God is the one who goes out to sow, then what he is doing is grace. The sower goes out to sow, and he is faithful to sow everywhere. He doesn't hold back. He's not stingy. He's not sort of weighing out the seed on the side and carefully planning out so he doesn't run out. That, I think, is part of what is buried in this parable about the kingdom of God that we get to dig up this morning. God's kingdom is not one of scarcity, not one of poverty. And he is faithful to keep on sowing season after season after season. His grace comes to us and those we love over and over and over again, whether we are ready to receive it or not. And so if that is the sower, then what about the soils that he is sowing in? What about where he throws his seed so liberally? And while we could turn to the world and begin to sort of survey the plots of land and send off to the lab for soil quality tests, I think the place to start is the soil of our own hearts, of course. The parable of the soils isn't merely a way to see the world out there. It reveals my own heart. It's there to interpret me. The parable not only reveals God's kingdom, it reveals my own heart and the hearts of everyone who is willing to hear it. And I can tell you that even a quick survey of the land of my heart shows that it is divided. The prophet Isaiah helps us to see and examine the boundary lines of our hearts as he speaks to us in his prophecy this morning. He says, "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy?" Why do we go on giving ourselves over to the things that can never satisfy the deep hunger pangs of our hearts or refresh the dry and dusty places of our spirits? Well, it's partly because that's the way the world is around us, isn't it? That's what we're shown. That's what we're formed in. It's how we're told to act. Our culture around us is built on sort of dangling the next prize out in front of us, only to see us disappointed when we finally get it in our grasp. Buy this thing, go on that trip, and you'll be fulfilled, of course. But the problem is that even if I get on a plane and fly across the ocean to my dream vacation, I am still the same person when I get there. And yet the word of God is for all who are thirsty. It is for everyone who is in need of a rich and deep drink from him. All who are hungry can come to his table and eat. Don't worry about the price, Isaiah says, because the sower who throws around his seed knows something that we are all still learning. His bread never goes stale, friends. His wine never runs out. And that is why he says, come and buy bread and wine without money, because the truth of God is not for sale and it has no end. This way of God's kingdom reveals my heart. Parts of it are not very good for growing the word of God into fruitfulness, while other parts surprise me. Places I thought could never so much as grow a weed suddenly have new growth springing up out of them. What I need is the sower not only to scatter, I need him to break up the hard patches of soil so that the seed can germinate. I need him to smash the stones and give me a heart of flesh. I need him to straighten out the path of the way that leads to Christ, instead of letting it trail off to the next glittering prize that our culture holds out in front of me. And so as I hear this parable again this morning, I am reminded of the work that God does in his saints, the work that he does in all of us, the work that he has done in men and women and children over the thousands of years in which his church has labored for him. Saints are those people who have heard the word of God and let our Lord do the work to cultivate their hearts into good soil. One example that came to mind this week as I was reading again our Lord's words are his own mother, the mother of our Lord, the Virgin Mary. Regardless of all the extra beliefs that there are around her, the Gospels present her to us as a heart of good soil, ready to receive the word of God and to see it take root in her life. St. Luke introduces her to us as someone who is highly favored, he says. And in older translations, we would say full of grace. She is filled with the grace that the sower has been throwing, that God has poured out upon her life. So much so is she filled with grace that when an angel greets her, he tells her as much. He names what he sees. You, Mary, are highly favored. You have received the grace of the Lord, and you are filled to the brim with it. Mary's heart is ready for the Holy Spirit to sow the word of life into her. And when the angel has given his message from the Lord, she consents. She says yes. She offers her yes to God's work in her life. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. That same word that the sower has been sowing everywhere. And once this word has taken root in her, once the seed has grown for 9 months in her womb, then the shoot of Jesse sprouts out into the world. And our Lord Jesus Christ shows us the fruitfulness of saying yes to God, of Mary's yes to the Lord, and of the good soil of her heart. Tilling up the ground and amending soil is tough work, friends. We know that, don't we? Each day at morning and evening prayer, we are invited to examine the soil of our hearts in confession. And when we find hard patches or stones or weeds, we know that God will graciously, mercifully throw his seed even there. And each week when we gather together here to celebrate the Holy Eucharist, all our hearts are opened up to God. All desires are known. No secrets are hid from him, so that we can meet him, that we can encounter the living God as we worship him. And so here in worship, the sower comes sowing his seed for us this morning. And regardless of the soil, he graciously throws around all that he has for us. So it turns out that maybe the sower does know what he's doing after all. How about that? He tends to the hard places of our hearts. He scatters his word on us today. And when the harvest is finally ready, when our hearts have finally produced the fruit of the Spirit, he will gather us into his kingdom, friends. And there we will eat from the produce of his table and drink from his cup forever. Then we will hear and we will understand what the prophet Isaiah foretold. The word that goes forth from his mouth shall not return to him empty. It shall accomplish that for which he purposes and shall succeed in the thing for which he sent it. And that is our salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.